and I hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later, we'll have a little community conversation for you coming up on today's morning show. Right now, the news from ABC at 9 o'clock, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A close ally of Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani has been fired. The Dodgers accuse him of stealing millions from Ohtani. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson to explain.
The Dodgers firing Ohtani's longtime friend and interpreter, Ipe Misuhara, after he allegedly placed wagers with an illegal sports book in California. Our colleagues at ESPN reviewed bank information they say shows Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments made last year. Misuhara denies ever betting on baseball and claims Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling debts or transfers.
The search is on in Idaho for white supremacist prison inmate Skylar Meade. He escaped along with an accomplice after a shootout at a Boise medical center this week. British media reporting that three members of staff from the London Clinic are being investigated as police look into attempted access of the Princess of Wales' medical records while she was there for abdominal surgery. This is ABC News. As the Israeli military plans for ground operations in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, ABC's Jordana Miller says there are fresh attacks in northern Gaza.
For a fourth day, Israeli special forces operating at the Al-Shifa medical complex in northern Gaza. The IDF says 140 Hamas fighters have been killed in and around the facility and over 300 other suspects arrested. Soldiers also finding over $3 million in cash and piles of weapons. Palestinian reports say civilians sheltering around the hospital have also been killed. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Family caught for 24 hours on Oregon's Mount Hood has been rescued. They were hiking on Tuesday when they got stuck in the snow. One family member did manage to get a signal out using the SOS button on their phone. And get your brackets in. March Madness begins in earnest today with the first games of the men's college basketball tournament. The women's tournament begins tomorrow. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
Losing a loved one is never easy, and it never will be. I'm Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Pre-planning won't take the grief away, but with a plan in place, families can spend their time and energy supporting each other and healing, instead of worrying about what to do next. We're ready to support you when you're ready to make a plan or simply ask a question at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Today's forecast calls for a high near 40 with a few peaks of sunshine. Snow developing tonight by midnight or so, 2 to 4 inches possible, a low of 27. Friday, snow tapering off by late morning, an additional 2 to 3 inches possible. Some breaks of sun late in the day and a high of 37. Friday night, mostly clear and cold, a low of 14. Saturday, 37 with sunshine and cool conditions. 40 Sunday, a 50% chance of light snow, possibly becoming a wintry mix. 1 or 2 inches of snow possible on Sunday. After a low of 24 this morning, it is 28 degrees in Richland Center.
Hello, everyone. This is Todd Compernall reminding you that I'm running for re-election as Richland Center's city mayor. In my time as mayor, Richland Center has added new homes, new businesses, and new jobs. We've completed a major street project each year, and we've done all of this while keeping the taxpayers in mind. It's been an honor to represent my hometown as mayor for the last 4 years, and there are exciting things on the horizon. I'm asking for your vote Tuesday, April 2nd. Thanks for listening.
celebrate at Dunkin' in Richland Center with something new. Now introducing the Frosty Red Velvet Specialty Donut, a red velvet cake base topped with vanilla flavor icing and cream cheese flavored sprinkles, promising a rich and delightful experience. Wash it down with the all-new White Hazelnut Bark Coffee, a drink inspired by fans' adoration for toasted white chocolate swirl. The drink marries the flavors of warm toasted hazelnut with the sweetness of creamy white chocolate flavor to create an inviting drink regardless of whether it's served hot or iced. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Does your yard need a green makeover? At B&D Tree Services, they've got your trees covered. From tree pruning to removal, health assessments, and emergency services, they're your local tree specialists. Their expert team is dedicated to top-notch customer service. Need that stubborn stump gone? They do that too. At B&D Tree Services, for all your tree needs. Call them today at 608-738-9399 and let your trees thrive.
The home loan experts are at Community First Bank. Get great advice on how to improve your credit. Get pre-qualified so you know exactly what you can afford. And get matched to money saving first-time homebuyer programs. Quit paying rent, become a homeowner, and save money? Now that's a win-win-win. Experience the difference at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com/homeloans. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval. Restrictions may apply.
Richland Family Restaurant Studios. Try something different with a side of great tunes.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio, and we have Todd Copperdahl, incumbent mayor for the City of Richland Center, with us today. He's requested time. Karen Tepley, who is a candidate for mayor, was on our program last week. Todd, good to see you again. Good morning.
Phil, it's great to be back on the show. Thanks for having me down.
So it is getting down there. April 2nd seemed a long ways off, but are you excited about this upcoming election?
Absolutely. Yep, we're zeroing in now, not many days left. It's an exciting time. The election process is always invigorating. Meeting with the people and talking to them and hearing their concerns. It's actually a lot of fun if you're built for it, and I've really enjoyed the process.
So you're running again? You're not shying away from office? What about the previous 4 years? Have they gone pretty well for you, do you think?
They have. It's been a wild time to be mayor, if you think about it. I was first elected in April of 2020, which was the beginning stages of COVID. So I walked into the start of a pandemic, which this country had not faced in 100 years, and I was the new mayor with no one around to really get good advice from. I called medical people, insurance people, law enforcement, state senators, everybody I could think of, and every single one of them said, I don't know, Todd, I've never had to do this before. So my first term had the turmoil COVID brought, and I had to work through that. And then in the second term, you know, we worked through some challenges as well, basically stemming from the pandemic and what it had done to costs to do anything, as everyone's aware of. And nonetheless, through all of that, we've had a very productive 4 years, obvious growth in the city, and I'm very proud and excited about all the things we've done.
Things seem to be back to normal then after COVID and everything.
Finally, yes, it feels like work days are normal days. Yeah, we're still, just like everyone is with their household budget, we're still dealing with what inflation has done and what interest rates have done and so on like that. But things are settling down and there are multiple projects going on in town. You can see, we can feel the interest again from, say, builders and some corporate retailers that are finally looking to expand again now and get back into that mode, which I think is a good thing for our community.
What are you most proud of from your 4 years previous year?
That's a great question. I've been asked that several times, and I don't think there's one thing. One is keeping my head and making good choices during the chaos of COVID, which I was able to do and lead our city government through a time no one could have been prepared for. The thing that I think touches me the most that we've gotten done is the dialysis center downtown. And the reason for that, it just happened again. I had a gentleman who lives in town. I didn't know him. And he saw me and he actually invited me into his house. and had me sit with him in his kitchen at his table and just introduced himself and told me how long he'd lived in the house and asked me a little bit about my personal history. And then he said, well, the reason I wanted you in here is to tell you that I've just been told I need dialysis treatment, and Mayor, I would have had to drive to Viroqua or La Crosse 3 days a week and go through what that treatment does to you. And I don't have to. I'll just drive to Orange Street. And I wanted to personally thank you and everyone else involved for getting that done. And that's happened several times, more than once, to someone I've known basically my whole life. And they'll sometimes be teary-eyed and hugging me. And man, does that hit me. It gives me goosebumps. You know, that's why you run for mayor, you know, to get things like that, to impact your hometown. I mean, I'm from here, Phil. This place is imprinted in my identity. And when people that you grew up with, that you met when you were five, get a critical healthcare resource right downtown because of work that you helped complete, and they didn't have to drive Wisconsin roads in the winter and wear themselves out, how can you not feel that?
As you look ahead, there are some things to be optimistic about. I guess likewise, what are some things you're looking forward to if you're elected mayor on April 2nd?
Well, the fun part is there's a lot of them, and that's why I ran again. I gave a lot of thought to this back in the fall, in the late summer. You know, I've been 2 terms, 4 years, been through a lot like every mayor is. And did I want to attempt to run again? Do I want to go through the process again and serve 2 more years? And what happened is almost on cue, as I was going through the thoughts, I got a phone call from the gentleman who was the original builder at Panorama Estates Apartments in town, which is 45 units over there across from the high school on 14 West. And his original developer's agreement called for 2 more buildings, one of which should be there by now, and the other had several years to go before it needed to be built. And with the run-up in costs and then the run-up in borrowing costs to get money, they just weren't able to pull the capital together, and that wasn't intentional, of course. It was reality, and they were struggling to figure out how to do this. And of course, we need the apartments very badly, and people in the public want to know, you know, where are those coming? And he calls and says, I need you to meet me in Wisconsin Dells tomorrow night. I've got new investors who are builders and building engineers, and they want to meet you. If you'll come over to the Dells, we're going to show you some apartment buildings that were just completed that are now renting and introduce you to the gentleman behind the group that did it. So I did that. I invited Jason Glassbrenner to come with me and found out that was the Glassbrenner's wedding anniversary. So I told him, well, don't get in trouble at home. I went over there and I met a man named Jonathan King, who is the leader, the head of this group of builders who have extensive experience with rental properties and building and engineering buildings. And he gave me a tour of this beautiful new apartment building with these great apartments and explained in detail to me everything, why the doors are placed exactly where they are, how each balcony, each apartment is a little terrace. You can stand on it and not see your neighbors and feel like you're completely secluded and all of this stuff. And he told me that they wanted to come over here and build those 2 buildings, but only if they could build them at the same time, which would not only get us 92 new apartments, but we wouldn't wait for one of those buildings. They'd build them in the same year. And he pitched me as what he did. Do you think the city would want to work with us? And I said, well, the first thing you're going to need to do is come to Richland Center and meet our city council and explain all of this to them. But I took a lot of photos of those apartments, sent them back to our people. He did come and meet the council, and subsequently through a lot of give and take back and forth, financial review, the council has now approved the plan to get 92 apartments built here to break ground some point in this spring. And our city attorney is working through the drafting process of the developer's agreement. And as soon as that is done, the expectation is the city council will approve that, and those apartments will get done. And that's a project that's been many years in the making. So I thought, wow, I mean, that took the winter to get done, but it's getting done, and it just lit me up. Look at this impact again, 92 apartments coming on a deal that's just great for the city. The builder's taking the risk in the deal, to be honest. And then on cue, another couple got in touch. They bought some land, and they want to build 23 houses in town, single family houses that we need so badly. And I thought, well, I had a great conversation with them. That's in the works. And then one at a time, 2 significant retailers called and said, you know, we're kind of looking at Richland Center and we see it in a different light. We see the difference in the culture there. We feel it. And we might want to come to town. And I thought, well, I can't leave now. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 big impactful projects coming that I've been involved in, heavily involved in. And I thought, this is not the time to just walk away and say, well, I did 4 years, it's someone else's turn. It's time to finish the work, because it took a long time and a lot of effort to convince builders, to convince corporate America that Richland Center was serious now about economic development and growth. And there has been a culture change at City Hall, and we are pursuing opportunities, and they believe it now, and we're working through the process of getting more of these done. And I said, I need to be part of that. So I decided to run again and, you know, work on these. And the Panorama one, honestly, has come faster than I thought and is likely to go, I would say, May or June, assuming they can get all their equipment here and supplies to hit that timeline. I think that's when they're going to break ground. And I'm excited by all that, because it's been a great deal of behind-the-scenes work to get these projects in a position to go.
What does that do in terms of jobs in the area? You had that many apartments, you had the possibility of that many houses. That has to help the workforce greatly, doesn't it?
It does, and it will. It will bring, first of all, to start with, during the construction process, I mean, you talk about building two big apartment buildings that each have 46 units. How many construction workers do you think will be here all summer? And they're going to need, they'll be buying things, they'll be doing things. So we'll get that, and then when the people move in, I'm just assuming a number here, but let's say two people live in each apartment, that's about 185 people added to the population of Richland Center. Phil, in your life, how many times has Richland Center grown 185 people in one move?
Not often.
Yes,
not
correct. Correct. And so you see the potential, right? And then you put up 23 houses, and that's going to be over a process of years. That can't happen all in one move, but over the process of time, getting 23 homes in here, you could use the same small number, and that number could be bigger. But just even say two people in a house, that's 46 more people. Now you're at 185 over there, 46 over there. That's 230 new people. And in my life, Richland Center hasn't added that many new people. And that's just from those two projects. So what you just did, you grew the tax base a bunch because you have new taxable structures. You grew the population. That's more customers for our local businesses. That's potentially more workers for our local businesses. Who's to say if one of them won't be a physician for our hospital that moves in, or the teacher that teaches your kids something they were struggling to learn, or maybe your new best friend that came to town. And you can't do that without those buildings, and we're getting them now. And it's been a lot of work, and a lot of us are involved in it. Our city employees, our city council, our commissions and boards and committees, all of these people working toward that common goal of growing Richland Center, and we're starting to see this stuff come to fruition.
When we were growing up, Todd, a lot of the perception was, well, nothing ever changes. You know, Richland Center is kind of that sleepy little town. But do you think perception about Richland Center from the outside has changed?
Absolutely has changed. And that's really what we needed to do. And that's why we're in a critical point if you're talking about economic growth here in the community. Yes, there were past mayors, past city councils, and so forth that really didn't want change here. Their goal, more than anything, seemed to be to not change the place they came from. And for a time, not so many years ago, economic development had actually been defunded. The city and the county couldn't get on the same page as to who should pay how much. And when they couldn't break it down, they tore it down. And they stopped funding economic development completely. And you saw the results. The community, unfortunately, had stagnated, and we had businesses leaving town, and there weren't new ones coming to replace them. And as our building inspector, who lives near Plain, he serves many small municipalities. The way he said it to me, he said, until these last few years when you've been mayor, Todd, I didn't have many reasons to drive to the west. He said, all my business was to the east. He said, not true anymore. I'm busy in Richland Center. And that's his way of saying he sees the effort, too. Yes, just the level, the volume of contacts we're getting now from builders that are willing to put up residential homes or apartments, and now potentially some retailers that wouldn't do these conversations, they weren't interested, that are now. Yes, there's been a change in perception of our city, and all of us have done a lot of work to get there.
You work closely with the city administrator. That's pretty important if you have another term, I'm sure.
I do, and it is. And a key point here, when I first became the mayor, it didn't take me long at all to recognize a key flaw we had in the way our city government was being handled, and that is the mayor is the CEO of the city. That's state statute, which means the mayor's the boss down there. And the problem is the way our city has it structured, the mayor position is part-time. It's called that. Word for word in the city budget, part-time mayor is what the council has approved and is paid accordingly. And so what we've had is whoever was mayor had to be employed, self-employed, retired, or, you know, something like that. And so a lot of times, to be honest, there wasn't a boss in the building because whoever the mayor was had to be other places and there wasn't an administrator. So I talked to some attorneys. They gave me some great advice. They said, you're either going to need a full-time mayor or you're going to need an administrator because someone has to be the boss and be in the building. And I agreed. I said, honestly, on behalf of our taxpayers, and I actually came on this show with Ron Fruit at the time and articulated that exact thing, our need for that and why we needed it and the fact that we needed a full-time boss in the building. And I called a special session of the city council. It was explained to them by a labor attorney. The choice is you could go with a city administrator, a full-time mayor, or what's known as a city manager. And the city council at the time unanimously voted to pursue an administrator, which we added. And what that's done is it took a mountain of work off the mayor's desk. It made the mayor, it made it much more palatable to have a part-time mayor. It decreased the need to have a mayor in the building as much because you have an administrator, full-time salary and benefits, in the building every day. In addition to that, now that person, the administrator, now has oversight of personnel and the city budget, which took two huge categories of work and made that her primary responsibility, then working with the city council and its committees and working with the mayor, but they're her primary responsibilities, which is a huge fundamental shift. At the same time, what we did, so now we have the full-time administrator. Right before I got elected, 2 weeks before I became mayor, the city and the county jointly created the economic development director position in a job share agreement, and Jason Glassbrenner was hired into that role. And until about a year ago now, the city and the county shared that position, but at that point, the city made Jason a full-time city employee. So now in City Hall every day, we have an administrator with oversight of personnel in the budget, and we have an economic development director who can work on these projects as they come up and meet with these prospective project participants, whether it's a builder or what have you, engineers, whoever we need, which has streamlined a lot of processes and made things a lot easier to do. So we've improved processes and representation in City Hall. We've made it much easier to work with our city, and people are trying to do so.
And you work a full-time job, so are there enough hours in the day to get your mayor stuff done as well?
Yeah, great question. I don't understand the question in a lot of respects, to tell you the truth, because I have as much time as I ever did, and I've been mayor for the last 4 years, and honestly, I'm blessed to say a lot of people in town have expressed their support for my work and the results that it has produced. I'm very grateful for that, and I don't have any less time than I ever did. In fact, you could say I have more for two reasons I just gave. We have a full-time administrator that we did not have when I was first elected. We have a full-time economic development director we did not have when I was first elected. And in my first few months in the role, I said to the city council, it's time for the city to get the mayor, what I call the mayor phone, a cell phone that's with me everywhere I go every day. And the reason for that, that people can call, text, email. They can work with me on their time, okay? They can reach me during the day. They can reach me in the evening, and they can reach me on the weekend, and people do all of those things. So the way I've handled it, my day job, I don't work Monday, so all day Monday, I'm in the mayor's office. I'm there evenings by appointment, and I have the phone with me everywhere I go, so people can reach me, and it hasn't been a problem at all. I actually have more flexibility, a great deal more flexibility than I had when I first was elected because of the changes we've made. And this was the path, the choice the city council chose. They had the option to have a full-time mayor. They chose not to do that. They have a part-time mayor by their choosing. And just this last winter, this last December, when we were passing the city budget, it's some great news. The state had finally amended and improved its revenue share program, and the city got more money from the state than we've been receiving, and that allowed us the opportunity. We came in with a city budget more than $150,000 below the state levy limit, which means we chose to leave more than $150,000 in the pockets of our taxpayers rather than using it for one project or another at the city. Now, at that time, the council was told that if they wanted to spend money on something else, the possibility was there. If there's something you want, say it now. We'll consider it. They could vote. They voted, and I agree with them, to not spend money, to let the taxpayers keep that money, because we know our people are dealing with the effects of inflation. So the council, again, could have said, we need a full-time mayor. Obviously, they didn't think we did. They didn't make a motion to do that. No one mentioned that. Things are moving just fine. We've got a line item in our city budget that says part-time mayor. That's what the council chose, and that's the way the system works.
Todd Copernell, our guest on The Morning Show. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from the Prescription Center. We have moved to our amazing new location. We have no sign since city planning, zoning, and council all must approve a sign before we can put one up. We are on Sextonville Road, directly across the street from Simple Elegant Salon. We do not know how long the signage will take, so look for the Simple Elegant Salon. We are across the street with plants in our windows. Chris and I would like to thank Sue and Greg Potesnik for remodeling their building to create our new pharmacy, and Doug Meyer for an exceptional craftsmanship in transforming the building to an incredible pharmacy. Same phone number, continued exceptional service. Rod still delivers, we still mail, and we're across the street from Simple Elegance. Thank you for letting us care for you.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
If your driveway or parking lot is looking tired and in need of some maintenance, the best choice is Wiscoat of Lone Rock. Wiscoat, local people committed to the local area and committed to the best customer service possible. Using the best products and techniques, Wiscoat will clean, edge, patch, seal cracks, and apply seal coating. Call now for your free estimate and get your job scheduled for next spring. 608-354-7690. 608-354-7690. Visit Wiscoat.com or check Facebook for Wiscoat. Go to Blown Rock.
Spring is in the air, and so is the buzz at the Avoca Mercantile. They're shaking off the winter slumber and gearing up for a grand reopening on April 2nd. Get ready to experience a whole new vibe as they unveil their fresh spring look. Join them Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. for an adventure in shopping. From unique finds to seasonal delights, the Avoca Mercantile has something special in store just for you. Don't miss out. Mark your calendars and be a part of the excitement. See you soon at the Avoca Mercantile.
Our morning show continues on WRCO. Current mayor of the city of Richland Center, Todd Copernell, is with us. And as for equal time, Karen Tepley was our guest on the morning show last week. If you want to hear her comments, it's on last Wednesday's morning show. So, Todd, as we talk about your story, you grew up right here in the city of Richland Center, didn't you?
I did, and this is what led me to getting into public service. I was raised here in town, as my parents were, my dad's parents were, plenty extended family members have been. A long history. Dad's family came to the county in the 1850s, and my mom's parents moved here 70 years ago this year, and Grandpa was a county board member for 24 years, and Grandma was the president of the local AARP chapter, and they gave me the gift of the political bug, I guess you could say. But what really happened is through the years, you know, Dad and Grandpa had a barbershop downtown, and it was this close-knit place where I had so many friends and relatives. Well, I left home when I was 19, I went off to college at Winona State University, and over the next 29 years, I lived in six different communities, three in Minnesota, three in Wisconsin, And then I moved back here, moved home 8 years ago now. And when I moved home as an adult, everything was different compared to my childhood. I really saw the place. I really respected and understood the unique qualities of Richland Center. When I was a kid, born here, raised, or not born here, but raised here, it was just where I was from. I didn't realize it was unique. And then living other places, I did figure that out. And when I came back, what had occurred to me, what had occurred to me was, I can't separate who I am from where I am. It can't happen because this is where my childhood memories took place. This is where all four of my grandparents are buried. This place lives in me. And that's why it matters. That's why I decided to put myself out there, get involved, surrender so much of my time. I work on my days off. I use my city, my job, personal time to meet, for example, when the governor comes or a senator comes or just to do, you know, the Veterans Day assembly at the high school. Weekends, nights, I get it. It's a commitment that I took for a reason with a purpose. I've never regretted it. I've loved being the mayor. It's an honor and a privilege. I think back and the three things that really resonate in my head. You know, I'm working to honor the city's past, to take care of its present, and to work on its possibilities. And I say, look back to the days when I was a kid and the people running the city then, the mayor, the city council, the doctors, the business owners, the school teachers I had, all my role models and what they stood for and the things they taught me that are with me every day, everywhere I go, and then come to today and the challenges of the current world with all the changes we've seen in my life and technology coming in and having to deal with a pandemic and just the challenges that every small town faces, and then look into the possibilities of the future, which I've been articulating, and we've now come into a new phase of home builders wanting to participate, businesses wanting to participate. We've secured a commitment from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to resurface Highway 14 East now from Bowman Drive to County O. Another big deal for our community, which we realize how much it matters and it's going to happen. All of that is because I have a passion. Because this really is where I'm from. This really is where I'm going to be. It's not a job for me. It is an honor and a privilege to be the mayor of Richland Center and fully committed to it, Phil. I mean, it's just one of those things. When you're doing this for the right reasons, it never leaves you. I think about Richland Center and what the city's doing every day, all the time. And my wife will tease me about it sometimes. You know, we could be out relaxing and enjoying whatever we're doing, and I'll just look around and say, hey, you know what we could do over there? You know, the city could get done. That's just part of who I am. And I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
And you want to see expansion in all areas of the city, I'm sure, not just out here on the Highway 14 corridor or any of those places.
Yeah, great point, Phil. You know, I do not and you cannot favor any particular segment of the town. So I've never said, you know, I believe in this part of the town or I'm working on that part of the town. Because the point is, we're working on the entire city all the time. And that's the way it's got to be. If you can get something good for the city in the North Industrial Park, get it. If you can get apartments on the west end of town, go get them. If you can get houses somewhere, do it. If it's something in the downtown, do that. Wherever it is, a win is a win. We will always be a small city in a small county. And we're the only small city in the small county, which means when it comes to economic development, growing the tax base, growing the quality of life, Richland Center is and always will be, must be the leader of Richland County. It's what we live. So wherever you can get it, pursue it and get it done. And you look around town and you can see it. You can see the dialysis center, including the center pharmacy and the TechCom building, including the credit union and Wacker Chiropractic down there on Orange Street. While I've been mayor, two new commercial structures built on lots that had been empty for years and years. We grew the tax base. We gave new homes to several new businesses. We also provided a critical health care need to locals who needed it. We kept going. We got new homes down in the Wedgwood neighborhood again. Pristine building lots, residential building lots, flat as a board, with infrastructure in place. The street was in, the utility hookups were there, and for whatever reason, the homes never got built. And we went to work on that. There are now five new homes down there with new people living in town. Again, taxable structures that help every taxpayer we have. keep going, looking around town. You see the new Dollar Tree store. They could have left town. They didn't. They believed in us. They built a new structure. You see the building that now houses Dunkin', AT&T, and TriStar Gifts. Another brand new built, taxable structure with three new businesses we didn't have. And you see the results coming. The new house under construction right now on First Street in a project the city was involved in. The Panorama apartments that are going to happen, 94 of them. There's a daycare where Lincoln Elementary was. There's going to be perhaps apartments or perhaps office suites in the Jefferson Elementary building. Kerry Norman bought it. He's working through the plan now. Again, those become taxable entities that weren't. They help every taxpayer, and they provide businesses and services that we've just got to have. You know, other things the city needed that we got. We got the police force added a canine unit while I've been mayor. A very big deal. Made them much more efficient. Has made our police force stronger. They're serving our people a little better than they could before. We added a high school police officer, the community resource officer in the Richland Center High School, in a joint effort with the Richland School District that they're paying the majority of, and it was done without raising taxes, and it's had immediate impact for the kids at school, for their parents, for the faculty. So there's big things and there's little things, and they all matter. Flashing crosswalk signs at major intersections in town to keep our people safe, that got done. Passing a city ordinance so that the school bus drivers could deploy their stop signs in town. That actually was not allowed by state statute without a local ordinance. We got that done. That came when I was an older person. We used to have alternate side parking 5 months out of the winter. With the snow we don't get, it's not necessary anymore. We shortened that to 3 months out of the year. Less hassle for our people and our police. It hasn't impacted the street department at all. That got done. You look back and you go, there's big ways and there's little ways, and every one of them matter. And I'm proud of the work. It's not just me. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of the city council, the city employees, the committees, commissions, and boards, because if any of those steps, any link in the chain breaks down, these things don't get done. We have a strong team, we have strong participants, and we're getting solid results.
As a mayor, you do not have to declare a political party. You know, and does that help you when you're working with state senators and representatives across the area?
It does. And what a gift. That's a really great question, Phil. I'm glad you asked that. So I've been lucky while I've been mayor. I've had time with Governor Evers, who's a Democrat, with Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's a Democrat. Ron Kind, that's when I was an older person, who was, of course, a Democrat. Now on the other side of the aisle, frequent interaction with Howard Mark Lyne, who's a Republican, Tony Kurtz, who's a Republican. I met with Tommy Thompson, a very well-known Republican, when he was the president of the UW system. And now Derek Van Orden, who, by the way, just helped Richland Center, and Tammy Baldwin did too. If you didn't notice yet, that's one Republican and one Democrat, helped this city secure a $2.5 million grant to get utility infrastructure into the land that the hospital bought so that when the time comes, a hospital gets built. We've got a big step forward to make that much easier to do. So my point there, I've been able to meet with the elected officials that are Republicans and Democrats, but I can also do that with our local people who claim to be one or the other. And I have no problem interacting with either group or with independents, because I've never seen myself as a representative of Republicans, Democrats, or independents. I've seen myself as a representative of everyone who lives in this city, and I haven't let any particular segment of our population be cut out of the city conversation, and I never will, because there are only 5,100 of us. We are not big enough to choose sides and fight, right? Mm-hmm. So, I have felt welcomed by Republicans and Democrats, and I have welcomed them back, and as well as the independents. I think that's the only way the mayor should do things.
When somebody asks you your platform, Todd, what do you respond?
The point is continued effort on economic development. It just can't be any other way. I mentioned we're the only small city in a small county. We've got to lead the way. And for so long, that's what didn't come to Richland Center. Honestly, city leadership hadn't made it enough of a priority too many times. You know, let's not bring change, or that might cost money, or whatever the issue was at the time. And honestly, as so many people will tell you, there were times when the city missed opportunities doing things that way. And at times it felt like the local economy had slid backwards instead of growing forward. So never, ever take your eye off economic development. Make it easier for local businesses to work with the city. Make it easier for new businesses to join us. And always look for that opportunity to add residential, add homes, because Obviously, in the end, you've got to have people. That's the most important resource you'll ever have, are the people who live here. Well, if we don't provide a place to live here so often, way too often, the people who are working in the businesses in Richland Center are commuting from some other town that did have available homes. And that just makes me crazy. We're growing the tax base of all of our neighbors. So that's why you go get 94 apartments when you can. That's why you talk about 23 houses when you can. That's why you always work on the next one. Because that, in turn, that population growth and that commitment to building is what then, in turn, attracts the retail business and says, boy, I want to be there. There's more going on than there used to be. We can make a living over there. And then they join the party. All of that is like a wheel. Every one of those successful projects being completed and more net new construction getting on the books, it helps the taxpayers again and again. It helps the school district attract more kids. And each kid in the school district brings about $13,000 a year in state aid that doesn't have to come from our people. You know, the sales tax collection goes up and that goes to the county and it helps them balance their budget. All of these things are touched by economic development in the city of Richland Center. That's been my main priority the entire time I've been mayor. It's going to remain my main priority if the people choose to keep me for a third term.
With additional housing, apartments and that kind of thing, is it more attractive to a possible grocery store coming in or a retail store or anything like that? The population numbers could help, right?
Are you trying to lead the conversation, Mr.
No,
I'll tell you what. Yes. And that's the statement I just made a minute ago. Yes. When a retailer, we'll just leave it wide open, any category, when they see effort from the city, that's a key point. They want to know that the community leaders are trying to grow because they're trying to forecast and project. If they invest sometimes millions of dollars, oftentimes millions of dollars to build something new, lease something and stock it and shelve it and everything else, is that going to be, will they get a strong return on investment? Will they make money there? Well, when you looked at Richland Center and you saw the population barely bigger than it was in 1970, that was a turnoff. They know, geez, that place isn't growing. Why would I think it ever will? So I have to work with the numbers they have right now. It's not big enough, not enough traffic count. I don't know. That's changing. They know that we've got these apartments on the way and some of these other things I've talked about. Some of them have already had representatives in town and looked the town over and came away with favorable impressions and favorable reports to the boss back home. So, yeah, the residential construction does attract commercial construction or leasing. It does bring new businesses. It's a cycle. One feeds the other. And we're fortunate right now that opportunities are out there on both sides of the aisle. We do have home builders interested, and we now do have some retailers interested. It's just now the process of working through the deals and the possibilities and getting as many done as you can. And then the next cycle comes, whoever's next out there sees that, it gets their attention. You know, conversely, when that wasn't a focus in the past for city leadership, when growth didn't happen, when businesses left, well, that was the image that was going out to corporate America and to builders, and they saw contraction and they saw stagnation, and naturally they said, well, let's go over somewhere else where there's some action. We've changed the narrative. There's no question of that, none at all. We've changed the narrative. We're getting attention we hadn't been getting. That's taken a lot of work, and it's bringing opportunities now, Phil.
So in closing, you'd like to make sure that everybody gets out and votes on April 2nd, I'm sure.
So one of the great things about living in the greatest country in the world, which we happen to live in, is the right to vote. And through the generations, many now, so many men and women have fought for the right to vote and preserved it for all of us. It should never be ignored. It should never be taken for granted. It's one of the great separators. If you want to live in China, that's available if you care to cross the ocean. I don't. We get to choose our elected representatives. That's awesome. I love it. The concept of elections and the people's voice being heard, I just love it. And here we are. So there are multiple candidates. That's a blessing. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. The people get to listen, think, and decide for themselves and get out and choose. And what I'm hoping for and what I'm asking everybody to do, April 2nd is the election. Get out and vote. Exercise your right and let your voice be heard, and then we'll all get on with it. Yes, I'm asking for your vote April 2nd. Absolutely. Thank you for everyone who has expressed support. I'll never forget it. I'm hoping to win again, but whatever the outcome, I'm hoping more than anything that the people listening to me get out, Use your right to vote. Let your voice be heard, and let's keep moving.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today, Todd.
Thanks, Phil. It's my pleasure.
Todd Copperdale joining us here on WRCO's Morning Show.
I'm Jimmy. I've been with U.S. Cellular for years now, so they asked me to announce their special customer event, Us Days. I said, I get nervous. Maybe we recorded somewhere relaxing like a hot tub. Us Days means exclusive offers like up to $1,200 to upgrade to any new phone, which I'll be needing because I just dropped my phone.
Us Days at U.S. Cellular. Get up to $1,200 to upgrade to any new phone. Terms apply. Actor portrayal.
Us Days is a special upgrade event for all eligible customers. Now through April 3rd, visit Cell Plus, your authorized agent for U.S. Cellular in Richland Center, Spring Green, Reedsburg, and Viroqua.
Cohasson Bus Richland Center is currently seeking applicants for full-time daily school bus routes. Starting wage is $20.50 per hour. Paid training is available along with a $1,500 sign-on bonus. It's an excellent opportunity for college students, retirees, and stay-at-home parents. You can bring your kids to work with you. If you enjoy working with children and have a positive attitude, this is an excellent career for you. To apply, call 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cohasson Terminal off Highway 14 behind Center Lodge.
On our morning show from WRCO, we say good morning to Jody Cornell, who is the adult supervisor of Richland County Junior Dairy Breeders. I thought maybe you were in here running for office today, Jody.
Yeah, I could be, I guess.
Maybe you could. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you along today.
Probably don't have time for that, though, Phil.
you're a busy man. I know that. Well, let's talk about some of the upcoming events. The season is kind of getting underway for your organization, isn't it?
It is. We're hoping to kick off the year with our organizational meeting. And we're planning that for April 7th at the Fairgrounds office building on the Richland County Fairgrounds, hopefully 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon.
Who should attend that?
Okay, so our group is affiliated with 4-H, but we also, the main purpose of our group is to support youth in the exhibition of dairy cattle. So anyone who is of show age is more than welcome to come and join. And we also accept youth that may not actually be 4-H eligible, but still a lot of our dairy shows will have peewee showmanship, which is, I think, starts at maybe 8 years old. Some of them may even go a little younger than that, but we are happy to have anyone. And then it's kind of our goal to assist them in getting to being prepared for and exhibiting dairy cattle.
Do they have to be affiliated with a 4-H club or a group, or can they just do it on their own then?
Right. So they do not have to be affiliated with any other group to show with us, and other than our group. Our dues are 50 cents a year. It's not going to break the bank. And we only do that just because we need to have a dues. And then, yeah, they don't have to be affiliated with any other group other than us to exhibit. Most shows are open to youth. And like I said, they're even open to youth who are not necessarily 4-H age yet.
How long have you been affiliated with it?
A few years? I actually started the group back in 2000. And I started the group because mostly to benefit exhibitors at the Wisconsin State Fair. However, like I said, we show at, I think my list here has, it has 9 shows on it, and there are lots of other shows that we don't necessarily attend or that are too far away. But primarily the group was started to assist youth going to State Fair because the cost of going to State Fair had gotten so outrageous. I know that it had approached somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 to $500 per child, and that didn't even cover all of your meals and things. And I knew a family, I was good friends with a family who had 3 children. And so their mother was like, you know, Jody, this can't go on. We just can't afford to keep sending our kids at this cost. And so we formed this group to raise money and also to bring together other people who like to exhibit dairy cattle and make it so that kids didn't necessarily have to go out and buy everything that's required. I mean, so if you need a pair of clippers, we will loan you a pair of clippers. If you needed a show halter, we will loan you a show halter. And also, we tried to bring together breeders who like to have their animals exhibited. So say I have three animals that I think are exhibit quality, but I don't have any children. I could say, would you like, 4-H offers a lease program, or a, it's not called a lease, but like a leasing program where you fill out some paperwork and you say, I'm going to help take care of this animal. And for doing that, the owner will allow me to exhibit this animal at a show, county fair, the horse and colt show, maybe your school fair, like Ithaca School Fair or River Valley School Fair, wherever that might be. And so we again, formed the group, and that helped bring some breeders together who said, yes, I have an animal that I really think would do well, but I don't have any children or grandchildren, maybe, you know, nieces, nephews, whatever. I don't have anyone who's really interested. Do you have anyone who would be interested in exhibiting this animal? And we could say, yes, we have so-and-so who actually lives in town and doesn't have their own animal, but seems to be rather dedicated to the project. They would be interested in taking care of a calf, learning the ins and outs, and exhibiting this animal.
It's kind of like a youth mentorship thing where you do that, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, hopefully, and, you know, we have older kids. Two of the gals, at least one of the girls who went to State Fair last year is too old to go again this year. But a couple of the girls, I think one maybe has a year left, one has 2 years left. You know, they're older, they know what they're doing, and I love seeing youth, even at county fair, youth coming who are first-year youth, second-year youth, and our older youth all pitch in and say, hey, you know, do you need a little help with this? Do you want a little help with that? Come over and watch me. I'll clip on my animal, then we'll go work on your animal, you know, whatever, grooming it, preparing it for the show morning. You see, sometimes I'll have a parent say, I don't know anything about this, so who's going to help? Well, the older kids will kick in. Even some of the adults who know what they're up to will help someone else out and just show them what's going on. And that's a really great thing to see.
Does your group help organize the transportation of animals, too? Because I'm guessing that's a big thing, too, isn't it?
So if someone needs help getting to a show, if it's one that we're going to, we'll definitely help you. Otherwise, we can see if we can find someone who's going to a show. Because like I said, we don't attend every show. We make it to a lot of shows, especially ones that are closer in this area. But that's something we can definitely work, you know, try to work with you on as well, is trying to get, you know, if you need transportation and we're going, we'll try to work that out with you, or we'll try to help you find somebody who is going, maybe from the local area.
How was 2023? Was it a good season, Jody?
It was a good season, yeah. It was a really good year. We had three girls took, oh boy, see, I should have made notes. We had three girls, and they took, I think they took five animals down to State Fair. And we actually placed pretty good for, you know, small counties, small number of animals, but we placed really well. The girls did really well. We placed second overall in small herdsmanship, which means the girls took care of their animals really well, kept the barn cleaned up, all the stuff that goes with herdsmanship, interacting with the public, all the things that go with herdsmanship, the girls did really well to place second overall. And they're, I'm just kind of guessing, but I'm guessing there's at least 25 small groups down there and about the same number of large groups. So to place in the top five in either one of those groups is a really good measure of how well you did taking care of everything.
Let's talk about this season then. How does the 2024 show season look, Jody?
So 2024 is, you know, it's going to be busy, and it starts pretty sudden. The first show that would be attended, and we're going to this one if anyone's interested, is the Spring Dairy Showcase, which is held in Madison. It's a state show, Wisconsin show, and that's the April 24th and 27th. So that's already, you know, that's only just a little over a month away, which is kind of scary. And that is for all breeds. That's for all dairy breeds. May 1st to the 4th in Viroqua is the Wisconsin Jersey Spring Spectacular, and that is only jerseys. And even though it's called the Wisconsin Spring Spectacular, it's actually open to jersey breeders across the country. Then there's a Spring Colors Show. I believe that's in Jefferson. And that's May 17th and 18th. And that is the colored breeds, the Ayrshires, the Brown Swiss, the Guernseys, and the Shorthorns. It does not include Holsteins or Jerseys. Then the Parish 3 Show in Mineral Point is June 14th and 15th. And that, again, is the colored breeds. There's no Holsteins at that, but they're, all the other breeds show there. The Canton 3 Show is June 13th, and that's at Mineral Point right ahead of Protein Show, and that is for Brown Swiss. And then the District 2 Holstein Show is at Black River Falls this year. That's July 1st, and the District 3 Holstein Show is in Lancaster, and that's July 8th. And those are both Holstein only. And then, of course, State Fair, the big one, that runs this year from July 30th through August 4th. And we'll be discussing that at our meeting, of course, but I believe entries are due sometime in May. I think they've backed that up just a little bit. Could be towards more towards the middle to late May, but they're due in May. And then also with that, you have to be able to choose your which group you're going with. And they've changed up State Fair a lot over the last few years here. Now we have what's called a volunteer coordinator, and that would be me. And actually, anyone is eligible from across the state to go with us. They have to basically apply or ask if they can go with our group, and then they have to meet any criteria that our group has set forth, which is not very difficult. Our group's only real criteria is that you participate in some of the meetings that we have. If you can't make them all, that's understandable, but you need to participate in some of the meetings, and you need to participate in one of the public service things that we do, and those aren't too difficult. We already had one, and that was we actually rang the bell for the Salvation Army. We do that, and then the other one that we do is we work at Dairy Breakfast and help Annette out with that. And those are really the two that we do at this time. So if you've already missed ringing the bell, there's still the opportunity to work at the Dairy Breakfast with us, and that would be your public service for the community service for the year. And really, that's all we ask. It's not very difficult to be part of our group.
That's interesting because, you know, I always think of it as a Richland County or Southwest Wisconsin organization, but you can be from anywhere in the state. Is that a change?
It is. That changed about, well, probably changed about 5 years ago. They changed that. And we used to be called chaperones, and they went away from that. And it all has to do with the fair's liability. And, you know, there's just so the world has changed so much. And so they have changed to kind of maybe like meet the new world criteria. And so we have a different title, and then we also have a different status as far as like what we are supposed to be doing when we're there. And because of that, they changed it so that, well, I guess, you know, truthfully, it's never really been that you had to go with your county. It just seems like people go with the people who are from their area. But they've opened that up that you can go from anywhere in the state. So if I wanted to go with, say, Bayfield County, I could go with them. It's just I would have to meet the criteria for the group from that area. And they aren't all even counties. Some counties have as many as three different groups in the county. Of course, you always have people that don't get along great or whatever, and so they form different groups. There's no criteria as far as like, okay, your county can have one group or your county has to be the Richland County group. We could just be called the Pine River Dairy Club or the Pine River Cattle Showers or something, and there could be another group from the Little Willow group, you know, and we could still both go and represent basically kind of the same area, but just be two different groups.
So right now, I'm guessing at this point, obviously, they have to have animals lined up and things like that. But if somebody doesn't, if somebody has some animals and maybe there's a youth that could show them, should they contact you, Jody?
Yes, they can contact me. So you can call me. My number is 608-647-0093. You can email me. My email is redneckcornell@yahoo.com. Or if you are on Facebook Messenger, we actually have a Messenger page, Richland County Dairy. And then we also have Richland County State Fair. Both groups are on there. I post anything that's primarily to do with State Fair goes on the State Fair site, of course. And then everything that we post on the Richland County site. So if people want to keep up with what's going on with shows or they have any questions, you can certainly put them up on there. Sometimes other people will answer you if I don't see it right away. I'm not a real tech guy, but if I don't see it right away, sometimes other people will answer. And we have lots of good people who are on both Facebook pages. So you might get an answer from someone else or you might get an answer from me. Just depends on and sometimes I don't know the answer. So but yes, you can contact me if you have any questions, and it's not too late. I mean, I would hope that you're kind of starting to pick out the heifer in the pen that you like the best and maybe starting to work with her. But, you know, it's never too late until the deadline is there. But, yeah, I would think that you'd be starting to pick that animal out at this point and starting to get some work, get some halter time at least to teach them that.
Not too far down the road, of course, your meetings, your shows, and then, of course, here in the